happening around this world. You see what's going on in the Middle East and other countries now. It's spread from Egypt to other countries and all the turmoil. And you just look around this country and you see the negative things that are going on, and you wonder, what happened to the joy of life? What happened to that? Because when we were created, when God created mankind, He wanted us to be joyful. He wanted us to be happy. He wanted us to live a life worshiping Him, rejoicing to Him and to Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't do that anymore. We've forgotten how to do that. But that's something that's very important to God, that we have the joy in our hearts and our minds, that God is there, that our calling is the greatest thing that could happen to a human being, and that the life we have now is something so special because we're in training to be teachers, to be helpers in the world tomorrow, and teach the world what we know. We have that. So we should have the joy that God wants us to have. We should be joyful. We should rejoice every day, especially on God's Sabbath day. But when you look around and you watch people, and I love to watch people. I've always said I'd love to have a job as a people watcher because I just like to watch them in a mall, especially you sit down and just watch people go by and see what they're doing. And you see a lot more sad faces than you do happy faces. And you wonder, why are these people so sad? Where is the joy in their life? I worked with a man many years ago at Ann Arbor Schools. And he happened to be my boss. But he was the type of a guy, and I'm sure many of you have seen people like this. He's always happy. Always happy. And he's the type of a person other people wanted to be around. Because he brought joy into their life, too. Everything he said was positive. He bragged on people. He always complimented people. And people just wanted to be around Tom. He was the guy to be around. There were a couple cooks over in one of the elementary or one of the middle schools, and they happened to be sisters, and their names were Levine and Mary. And they always did special things for their school food. I don't know how many of you have had school lunches. You know, they're okay, but they leave a little to be desired sometimes. And Levine and Mary would always add some of their own touch to the food to really spice it up to make it special. Now, they started out with the same meal that the other schools had, except when they put their own personal touch to it, it really made a great meal. And Tom was like me. He was a little husky, and he did like to eat. So we would go over there to the school, and the ladies would talk with Tom, and he would just get them laughing and having a good day and just bragging on their cooking. And he started calling them Laverne and Shirley. And they loved that. And so they would even call him in the mornings. We would get ready to leave the shop at 7 o'clock. The phone would ring, and it would be Laverne or Shirley, and they would be saying, "Hey, Tom, we made a special dessert today. Stop by. You can check it out. See what you think." But they wanted to be around him. They wanted to be around Tom because he brought that joy into their day, and they really appreciated that. But he made everybody feel that way. You know, when teachers or principals would call in a panic because maybe a water line broke at the school or the heat was off, Tom never got excited about that. He'd always get the job done, but he always saw the positive side of that. And we had an elementary school, the heat went out in the wintertime, and they were without heat. We missed 2 days of school, the kids did, while we were repairing the heat. And the principal was beside himself trying to figure out, well, how do we get school open? We need to get school open. So Tom went, and I don't know if you remember that, there was a record out several years ago called The Heat Is On. I think it was a theme song for Eddie Murphy's movie. But anyway, Tom had went and purchased that song, and in the morning when the principal came in, he kicked it on because we had the heat on. Principal, just, how could he be upset? Got that song in the morning, and we're happy, he's happy, and we get the kids back in school. But Tom, that was what he did. He wanted to make people feel good. He wanted to bring joy to them. And he was the first one to tell you that he was no saint by any means. I mean, he had his challenges in life too. And him and I were probably, you know, he's one of the closest and best friends I ever had, but we never did anything socially. Because his idea of fun and my idea of fun were a little different. We were, you know, in the church and he wasn't. But at work, we just couldn't be better friends. And he knew what I believed. And sometimes he'd just ask me, well, why do you go to church on Saturday? Why do you believe these things? And I would talk to him about it. He never once said anything negative. He was always positive about that. And he knew that I was a young guy in my 20s, struggling with three kids, trying to make a living, and he knew what we made because he was my boss. He knew we didn't make a lot of money. And sometimes we'd go to lunch together. He called me one day and he said, Mike, meet me over to the mall at the Sears store at lunchtime. So I thought, okay, I'll meet him over there and then we'll go to lunch. He must be picking up something. So I went over there and met him, and we went over to the men's department. He said, what size suit do you wear? I don't know. They measured me out. But anyway, he bought me a brand new suit for church, you know, because he knew that I was struggling. But that's what he did. And he, not just to me, but to everybody. That's the type of guy he was. He saw needs. He saw where there was a place that he could really make a difference and have an impact on people. But I always wanted to be like Tom that way. And be the type of a person other people want to be around and bring joy into other people's lives. That's quite a character trait to have, because I've never mastered that. But I've always thought I just had a great experience being around Tom and seeing how somebody with the joy of life can share that with other people. And then I was thinking about us and God's church, who have God's Holy Spirit. And the joy, having joy is a fruit of that spirit, and it's something that we should look at, take advantage of, and make a part of our lives, to share our joy with other people, but to also let people see our joy, that we're excited about the Word of God. We're excited about God's truth. We're excited about God's plan for mankind. We're excited about coming together on the Sabbath, being together, because we're so spread out, this is the only time most of us can get together. So we want to bring that joy here with us and share that with one another. And just be thankful that we have that. Because every time we look at the newspaper, radio, TV, we don't see that joy in this world. Satan has done a good job in taking that away from people, taking that away from us if we let him. But he's done his job. But joy is something we in the church should choose to express in our lives, because it is a choice. If we have joy or not in our lives, it's our choice. And having real confidence that God is there when we need him, that he's there to help us anytime we need him, that's real joy. Because we know we can do anything with God there helping us. And that's my message today. Is have the joy of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our being. To not only have it, but to express it and let people see that. Because the Bible has plenty to say about us being joyful. Let's turn to Philippians 3 in chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. We should rejoice in God's word. Rejoice in what we learn. Rejoice in our calling. Not take it for granted, because we can do that. We can get sidetracked so easy. And that's not a good thing, because God has given us so much. When you and I should be the happiest people on the planet, we need to express that. We need to show that. That's how we should be, because we know God's truth. We know the results of his plan. and we need to rejoice and let God know that. We know, God, that you're there. We know what you've done for us. We know what you'll continue to do for us. We know we don't have to worry because you're there. We know that there's solutions to every problem when we include you. We don't have to feel lost. We don't have to feel down. We don't have to feel beaten because we have that joy, that fruit of your spirit that's in us. And that's not to say that there aren't times when we get down, when we get discouraged because we're human beings. And that'll happen to all of us because things happen in life. But being joyful in those trials, being joyful when we have those down moments, those down days, that's something that we may have to dig for. That's something we have to work for and to express that joy, because that joy goes deeper than being just physical. That joy is part of the Spirit of God. It's part of the Holy Spirit that God's given to us, and it's beyond the physical. Turn with me to John 16, John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 20. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." You know, we have that joy in us. And even though we experience tough times, we experience pain, we experience sadness, that joy is what's important, because that's going to get us through these things. Can you imagine how, and I've said that many, many times, how do people out in the world who don't know God, who don't have hope, how do they get through these tough times? How do they get through the stress of every day without knowing God's truth, without having God there for them? That has got to be just a terrible place to be. But God knows this, how we live. He knows we have tough times. But he wants us to remember that he's there for us. He wants us to remember to call upon him, to tell him we understand that we're going to experience trials and tribulations and sad situations, but we know what that joy is going to eventually bring. It's going to eventually bring eternal life, God's kingdom. And no one can take that joy away from us. Now, anybody or anything except us, if we allow it to be taken away. Satan would love to take it away from us. Satan would love to keep us discouraged, to say there is no hope. You know, the whole world is deceived by what Satan is doing, but we know better. We have that joy of the Spirit. And there are many examples of people in the Bible who had major negative events take place in their lives, and they came through that because of the joy they had. Paul was a man who experienced many things, many setbacks and trials during his life. Yet he told us, and he set that example, that he had the joy of God's truth, understanding what was beyond this physical life, understanding what his goal was. He set that example for us to follow, to not give up the joy that we have. Philippians chapter 3, if you turn there with me, please. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 8, it says, "But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Paul lost a lot during his life. He was imprisoned, you know, beaten, everything else, lost everything he had. But he could see beyond that. And he said it was all rubbish, because he could see the kingdom of God was at hand. He could see that reward that God had for him. He believed that. He had confidence in that. Again, an example for us to follow. But Paul learned what was important in life. And it's a learning experience. He had a joy that carried him through those tough times. And he didn't give up and say, poor me, I just can't do this. I can't get through it. He held fast to the truth of God. And he held fast to the joy that he felt inside. In verse 21, chapter 3 and in verse 21, it says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself? Who can do that? Who can transform us from a physical person to a person that struggles, that has a lot of trials? Who transforms us into a spirit being to have eternal life? Jesus Christ does. His truth does. Paul was very confident what his future would be, and we should be too. We should understand what God's given us. And if we go back to verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our reward is, with Jesus Christ. And he'll bring that reward with him when he returns. And we'll have that joy. We'll really be able to appreciate it and understand it more than we do now. This is a reward we all wait for. When Christ returns, brings that reward with him. And we're changed. And we don't struggle anymore. We understand what true happiness, what true love, what true joy is with Christ. And we get to share that with the world. We get to take the sad people of the world, the people who are broken, the people who are poor, hurting, and we get to share that with them and show them why it works. Why this is so much different than anything the world has to offer. We get to do that. How rewarding can that be? That's got to be just great to be able to share that. And just like we've learned it, we've learned to appreciate it, we're going to help them learn to appreciate it. It's hard to imagine anybody like Paul when they were in prison, locked up, for preaching the truth of God. And not feeling that you were all alone, because why would God allow that? Why would God allow me to be locked up? Because I'm doing what he wants me to do. But again, Paul knew the world. He knew that Satan is an enemy. And he knew that there were also going to be things that would happen. But he also knew that he couldn't take his eye off the prize. He couldn't take his eye off God. He had to remember what was beyond that prison, what was beyond his life, and he did that in the worst times. So he knows what he's talking about when he writes these words for our example, for us to learn from. He's been there, and he's done that. And those are lessons that we can learn, and we can grow, and we can just appreciate more and more the Holy Spirit that God's given us. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's nothing that can take that away from us. There's no law against being joyful. There's no law against any of the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we're the only ones that can take that away from us. We're the only ones that can turn our backs on God, can turn our backs on the joy that we know, and can walk away from our calling. We're the only ones that can do that. And there's just no reason to do that. But we as individuals should have a joy in our hearts for the truth of God, for each other, when we come here on the Sabbath day, to appreciate, you know, if there's 10 people here, 15, or if there's 2,000 people, but just to appreciate we're all here, and we're all here for the same reason that God called us out of this world. We're all here to help and support one another and to learn, and what an opportunity we have. I wonder, you know, what the week would be now, what it would be like now without the Sabbath day. To go back to not keeping the Sabbath. To go back and not appreciate the holy days and what God gives us. That's a scary thing. But it's also scary to think that, you know, there may be one day when we wouldn't appreciate that. Because Satan would love nothing better than that. We have to be aware of that and help one another to maintain that joy and to be uplifted each Sabbath and to just appreciate what God gives us. John chapter 15, if you turn there with me, please. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 10. As if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. You know, being happy, being joyful, that carries us a long, long way. To be in an attitude of desiring more and more of what God has got for us, of his knowledge. To desire more and more of wanting to be together, to fellowship, to spend time that's very, very precious each week that we come together. We have 3 or 4 hours together each week. That's not much time. But we should be joyful that we have that. In some areas, they don't. But we're so blessed to be able to have time together, to learn, to help one another. And to share that joy. And if we obey his commandments, as he says here in Scripture, we'll experience a joyful and a fulfilled life. Because again, we won't be caught up in the negatives out there in the world. We won't be caught up in a world that has no hope, as the world does now, because Satan's taken that away. He's done well. He's done his job well. Because if you can take hope away from people, you've taken almost everything from them. You know, we've all read stories of people, and I bring this up because I remember on the news, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, they did a story on this young man who was rock climbing and got his arm caught in between a couple of rocks. And he laid there for hours, and it might have been days. But anyway, he didn't give up. He never gave up. And what he eventually had to do to live, he had to cut his hand off to get it out of the rock. But he did not give up. He knew there was a solution to this. And, you know, I say that because we have a solution to everything. Even though we may feel that we don't, we may feel that our back is against the wall or we're stuck in the rocks or things are happening that are causing ourselves to struggle during life. But you know, that joy will help us. That joy will free us. And we need to seek out God for that and ask God to help us to maintain that. We can't let negative events in our lives destroy our joy. We have to maintain a positive outlook, a positive attitude. Romans 8, if you turn there with me, please. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know, all things will work out for us. You know, when we came into God's church and started to understand God's truth and we made a commitment, we know that we can believe God. We know that God wouldn't lie to us, that he would never leave or forsake us, but he's there for us, and he always will be. We all have a common enemy, and we know that our Savior Jesus Christ overcame that enemy. Again, an example for us, that we can overcome that enemy, that we can overcome sin. Life is full of ups and downs and discouragements, and I'm sure we all have experienced that. We all deal with almost every problem under the sun. But you know, there's a solution. There's a bright spot. There's a joy that Jesus Christ gives us. There's a joy that we have instilled in us in God's Holy Spirit that can keep us upright, keep us moving, keep us excited, keep our eye on the prize, keep our eye on God's kingdom. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And in verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You know, we learn, and we talked about that last week, I think, or week before. We learn by our trials. We grow. We gain knowledge. And we're able to share that knowledge with other people. We're able to learn by things that happen to us so that maybe others wouldn't have to experience the same things we experienced. But we come through that a better person. We come through that joyfully because we've come through the trials. We've come through the down days of our lives, and we still have God's kingdom at hand. We still have that reward there for us. We didn't give up. We didn't allow Satan to take that joy from us. And that's something that God is there to help us do, that Jesus Christ is there to help us do, and that we're all here to help each one of us do. We're here to help each other as family. But you know, that joy that we have, that God's given us, you know, that's a choice to do with whatever we want to do with it. We can ignore it. We can stifle it. We can hopefully try to build it and let it grow in us so that we are a joyful person, so that we know that we appreciate, we know ourselves in our heart and our mind that we appreciate what we have, that we appreciate God's truth. We appreciate the knowledge that we've gained. We appreciate each other. And our confidence in what we believe has a lot to do with our joy. Are we confident that the Bible is the Word of God? Are we confident that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? Are we confident about all that we believe? Do we believe that with all of our heart and soul? Well, the joy plays a big part in that. That we really believe what we believe without question. You know, sometimes even when the weather, and it's strange, but this, I guess it's because, you know, we're sometimes so physical, but when we have, especially here in Michigan, I don't know about you people over here on the west side of Michigan, but I know what we have in Lansing, and it's about 362 days of gray skies. And, you know, after you have that for a while, it can start to work on you. It can really, you know, start to work on your whole attitude, your everything. And so you have to be mindful of that and work on that and not get drugged down, because the sunshine is just a bright spot. When we look out there today and it's cold, but look at how nice it is out there. And that's like God's Spirit. That's like the joy we should have. That's what it does. It brightens our whole day. It brightens our whole life. It just adds to it to make us be more energetic, to have a desire to do more, to learn more, to dedicate ourselves more, to stay in contact with God more, to make that choice to ask God to help us, to help guide us. You know, if we ask, seek, and knock, God will hear. He will listen. And sometimes we have to knock hard to let God know we're serious. We want you to hear us. We want to have contact with you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I remember when I was a little kid sometimes, you know, with 15 of us kids running around, I think my mom was probably tired of listening to kids. So you have to get in their face, you know, and say, Mom, 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 Mom. So you got either she whacked you upside the head or you got her attention. But, you know, we had to work hard sometimes to get her attention at what we wanted. And I think sometimes we have to do that with God. Let him know we really want his attention. Let him know we really want to have contact with him. Luke 11 and in verse 9. It says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will give all he can to us, all that we desire, all that we ask. But again, it's a choice we make as individuals. We have to ask God, Father, help me, because I just can't seem to find that joy. I don't know what's going on, but I just can't seem to find it. Help me find that. Help me search my heart. Help me find out why I'm not a happy person, or I just don't see the joy in all that you've given me. If we struggle with that, God will help us to see that. Because God expects us to rejoice. God expects us to rejoice with all he's given us. We should be so happy. You know, you have families that are very well-to-do, and they supply their children with every type of toy, every video game, whatever education they want, whatever new car they want, and there's no happiness there. There's no joy there, because it's just material things that in the end mean nothing. God gives us something that's eternal. He gives us his truth. He's going to make us a part of his family. That's something that's just so awesome. Sometimes you just can't even put everything together in your mind because it's so great. But it's not going to go away. The joy that we have will never leave us if we don't want it to leave us, if we don't do anything. It'll always be there. God will be there tomorrow. Jesus Christ will be there tomorrow and the day after and the day after. They will never leave us, as material things do. So being supplied with everything material doesn't mean a thing, because it all goes away sooner or later. But God's truth and God's joy doesn't. We have to get beyond what's taking place around us each day, because that can be very sad when we see what's going on in the world with the hunger, with the wars, with the crime, with everything that goes on. We have to get beyond that to say, you know, there's something better than this. There's something that's going to take place that's going to stop all of this. And we need to be excited about that, because no one can do that except God. Nobody can do that until Jesus Christ comes back and takes back this world and sets up God's government with us, you and me, helping him, being there. When that joy comes to a fulfillment, and we see this is what God's talking about. This is the joy that he gave us. Now we can really appreciate it. Now we can see the full scope of what it means. We know in the end, and that's the thing, we know. A lot of people don't know, but we know that we win. We know that Jesus Christ comes and overtakes Satan, put Satan away. We know that, because that's what God's word says. There's no question about that at all. None. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When Christ comes back, it brings peace to this planet. And the whole world understands what God is about, who he is, what Jesus Christ is doing. And it'll be in the hearts and minds of everyone besides us. And they will understand what we understand. And we'll all come together in the knowledge of God. We'll all rejoice in the Lord at that time. We'll all be excited. I wonder what people would say at that time if we didn't express the joy, or we didn't have the joy that they're going to know. And they would wonder and ask, why wouldn't we be excited? Why wouldn't we have that joy? Because we've known this for years. We've known the truth of God for years. Why weren't we doing cartwheels? Why weren't we excited about what was happening and showing love toward one another, helping one another, and displaying that joy, letting people see that, letting people see our light shine? You know, when I look at people like Tom, my old boss, that was his character. That was in his nature to do that. It wasn't anything he had to dig for or anything he had to work hard on. I don't know why it was in his character, how it got there, but it was there. And I just thought that's the way we all should be. We all should desire to please others, to help others. We all should rejoice about being alive in the morning. And I think about Paul, if he could be joyful in those situations he was in, how can we make excuses on not having that joy when we're having a bad day? You know, is being a member of the God family the most important thing in our lives? Is that number one? Everything we think about, the first thing we think about every day? It should be. What can compare to God's truth? There's nothing. And what can compare to the future that we have? Nothing. Nothing can compare to that. God's giving that to us. He's blessing us with that. He's giving us that as a gift because he wants us in his family. Being joyful is a big part of our spiritual makeup. And we're here to set an example for other people. What do people see when they look at us? What do they get from us? Do we share that joy? And not necessarily sharing our religious beliefs, but if people see you and you're joyful, you're happy, you're positive, they notice that because that's not the way most of the people in the world are today. So you stand out. But we can never give up trying to overcome the things that would take that joy from us. We can never give up. We have to be on guard. How many of us can say in God's church today that we've not been set free of the confusion and disappointment of this world since God opened our mind? We understand what's going on out there. We understand the cause of all the depression, all of the sin. We're blessed to understand that. And what we have in life is what we have. And I'm talking here about material things. And if we all do what we can do, all we can do to provide for our families, seeking God's help, then we have nothing else to do except turn over our lives and the spiritual things and lock into God. Share that joy that God's given us. Because physically, there's so much we can do. But spiritually, there's no end to what we can do. With God helping us and guiding us. If we're doing everything we can do, all we have to do is rely on God. It gets down to that and the joy that he brings us through his Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 12. Philippians 4 and in verse 12. Paul saying, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where we have to get. That's where we have to be. You know, be happy with what we have. Be happy with the life we have. Be happy with the things we have. And be excited about our calling and about having God's Holy Spirit. Life is both good and bad, and it's always going to be that way with us as physical beings. We can't get around that. But we need to keep God in the forefront of our lives, to keep that joy burning, to keep that excitement there, to know that this is temporary, that we have so much more to look forward to. And with the joy of God in us, that will just help us to remain excited, to keep God in the forefront, and to be there when Jesus Christ returns. You know, if we have unresolved issues, that can steal the joy from us also. Anything we have unresolved, anything we put off, is always working on our minds. You know, if we have issues with anything or anyone, if we don't deal with it, that can stifle the joy that we have because we have that stress on us. We're burdened with that problem. What do? How do we solve it? And we're not taking care of it. There again, those are the times we need to go ask God to help us sort this out. Help us deal with these problems. Help us deal with this person. Whatever's necessary to keep the joy of God in our hearts and to not let it be taken away or stifled. Because as we know, Satan can work on us in any area because he's a master. And if he can work on us in any area and cause us to lose that joy, that excitement, he'll do it. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, we're here to help one another, to love one another, to lift each other up when we're down, to share that joy that God's given us. And that's a choice we need to make because, it's up to us. That's a choice we have. And you know, and I know the choice that God wants us to make. He wants us to make the choice that we want him included. We want his joy. We want to be part of his family. Sins are so apparent out in the world. You know, it's do anything now, any lifestyle, anything you want to do in this world is okay with the world. Any lifestyle you want, anything you want to do, it's up to you because you're an individual. And if you make that choice, that's okay. That's the way the world looks at it. But we know that sin has to be taken out of our lives. We know that sin is something that has to be overcome. Sin is something that has to be repented of. And if we don't do that, we get ourselves in trouble. And we're all smart enough to know what sin is because the Bible tells us what sin is. We know it's very contrary to God and that God has no part in sin. Turn with me to Psalms 32, if you would. Psalms 32. Psalms 32 and chapter 1. Or in verse 1, I mean. Chapter 32 and verse 1. It said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You know, David had a problem dealing with sin. He didn't want to face it. He didn't want to go to God. He didn't want to tell him some things he had done. But he knew that he had to because it was weighing on him so heavy. And he knew it was contrary to what God wanted. We go down to verse 11. And it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice your righteousness and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You know, we should be glad. We should rejoice before God. Tell him what our problems are. Tell him what we're dealing with. Tell him what we're struggling with. And let him help us. Let's maintain that joy. Psalms 51. If you turn there with me, please. Psalms 51. Psalms Psalms 51 and in verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." David wanted that joy restored, and he asked God for that. He was losing that joy. He didn't have it, but he asked God to restore it, and God did. And God will do the same for us. If we've lost that joy for God's truth, for God's people, for anything that has to do with God at all, we need to ask him to return that joy. Help us to hang on to it. Help us to understand it and not lose it. God loves us so much that he'll help us have that joy. And that will keep us excited. That will keep us digging more and more into God's word. Romans chapter 12. If you turn there with me, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope." You know, that's the hope we have. We have the hope of the kingdom of God. That's what we should be rejoicing about every day. "Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men." It says, "Beloved," in verse 19, "do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." In verse 20, "Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's the joy we should have. We should want to live a Christian life. We should behave like Christians. We should set that example. And the joy of God will help us to do that. We should seek that joy every day. We should have it instilled in our hearts and minds. The world's going to continue to fall apart. And there's nothing we can do about it except our prayers to God to bring back his government to this planet so that everyone can understand and know what we know. That's what's going to solve the problems. That's what's going to bring joy back to this earth. But the bottom line is that each of us should do all we can do to help God, to help. We should seek God and ask for the help that we need to maintain and develop the joy that he's given us. There's so much going on now, so much that we have to deal with out in the world, so much that we have to watch because we can't get away from it, because it's everywhere. If we read books, newspapers, TVs, it's everywhere, in conversations, at work, or with other people we meet, so we can't get away from it. Satan has a stronghold on this planet. He's doing everything he can do to destroy the joy that God's given us. So let's maintain that. We've got a reason to. We understand God's truth. We understand what's going to happen. We understand when we have members sick that God will take care of them. That we can go to God on our knees and ask him to intervene and heal them. We understand he's there for that. That's part of our joy, that we can do that. We don't have to think twice about it. That's automatic. We just go do that. God wants us to appreciate the joy he's given us. God wants us to appreciate all that we have, especially together when we come here before God's throne and show him how much we appreciate what he's done. Show him that joy that he's given us inside. So my wish is to still be like my old boss, Tom, and to be the kind of person that people want to be around because I bring them joy. And I would love to be like that. Maybe in the kingdom I can be like that. I'll hang around with Tom. Maybe he can teach me. We'll have eternity. If he can't teach me something in all eternity, I guess I wasn't meant to learn anything. But, you know, that's the kind of a person that that just, again, brings that joy that we should all be bringing to one another, to our families, to our coworkers, to everybody we come in contact with. Let them see that we are different. Let them see that we have something so great and that one day they're going to have it too. But we have it now. Let us rejoice in what God's given us and be very thankful that we've got it. And let's use that joy and share it with one another and with our families and with the